Welcome Dr. Nikhil Arora from Schneider National, who's the Director of Advanced Analytics and Business Intelligence. He's going to be the seminar speaker today. And very briefly about his background, he did his undergraduate degree in chemical engineering at IIT Delhi, graduated in 98. Then he came actually here to Carnegie Mellon for his PhD and worked under the direction of Professor Larry Beagler, graduated in 2003. And after that, he joined Praxair, where he was working for about 12 years, working especially in the area of supply chain optimization. He became program development manager, involved very much in R&D. And then he joined Schneider, where basically his main job has been to develop descriptive, prescriptive, and predictive analytics for business growth and productivity. And he's also actually started his career there working in logistics engineering. And today we're going to have the pleasure of having him share some of his views on supply chain convexity and why it matters and how to solve such problems. Okay, so it's all yours. Thank you. We're very much thank you again for agreeing to give us a seminar. I look forward to hearing what you have to say. Thank you.
Thank you, Ignacio, for the kind introduction. So today, folks, let me talk a little bit about Schneider, and then we'll get into supply chains and how we help our customers with their supply chain complexity challenges. Okay, so just a little bit about Schneider. Schneider is a $4-plus billion transportation and logistics provider. And this slide here shows the different, the three different types of offerings we have for the market. So starting with the intermodal is where, say you are a company that wants some freight moved from point A to point B. Say you want to go from Pittsburgh to Los Angeles. So one of the ways you can do it is you can put your freight on a truck and send that truck cross country for 3 or 4 days, and your freight will get where it needs to. Or you can put your freight on a train. So this box, you see this picture of the truck? This box goes on a train along with many other boxes. So this train will now go from a hub near Pittsburgh to a hub near Los Angeles, and you can use a truck to transport that load to and from the hub. So in some ways, it can be a very efficient way to transport your goods. In the middle, we have the truckload offering. Truckload is where it all started, right? So this is the full trucks. You see orange-colored trucks that are moving on the highway. Again, go from point A to point B. The thing with this type of freight is trucks make money when they have goods and when they are moving with somebody's goods. Empty trucks don't make any money. So the challenge in this one is to make sure that for all the time that the truck is on the road, it is transporting something for most of that time it's on the road. And the truckload offering breaks down into different types. So bulk is the tanker trucks that transport the fuel and chemicals. Dedicated is the trucks that are dedicated for a particular customer, so they are used to provide high levels of service. Final mile is a new offering where we transport somebody's shipments to their doorstep. So if you order a treadmill or a sofa, the final mile business is the one that is responsible for bringing it to your home. And then long haul is the long distance transport. The third offering we have for the market is logistics. So in logistics, we are really not providing our own transportation assets all the time. What we are trying to do here is we want to give a solution to the customer that allows their freight to be moved. So say, for example, you are a customer who wants goods moved from Pittsburgh to Los Angeles. Now, if we engage with you as a logistics business, we will give you various options in which to move your freight. And we will give you options for different providers that you can use. A provider may be Schneider if their pricing is competitive and it aligns with your pickup and delivery time windows. It may be somebody else. The point is that here we are trying to help the customer move their freight in the most efficient manner that makes sense for the customer. And we have a number of offerings here. So Crosstalk is basically a building in which we bring in freight from different places. We separate it and send it out to where it needs to go. Dray is a way where we will move freight by truck to an intermodal rail yard so that then it can be loaded onto a train. Or maybe it's freight that is moved from a port to a warehouse. Supply chain management is a solution we provide to the market where we engage with the customer on a long-term contract basis where we essentially take over their logistics function. So customers outsource their logistics management function. And so all practices that are involved with the shipment planning, contracting with carriers, anything we have to do with claims management, all of that is covered under supply chain management. And then we have a very big brokerage division. So in brokerage, it's a short-term relationship. So suppose, think about it this way. If you're going to an internship and you have a car and you want your car moved, you'll pick up the phone, you'll call a broker. Broker will find some transporter who is going to be going where you want your car to be moved in the time period that you are looking to get it moved. And they will set up a contract with that transportation provider and with you. They're basically a middle person, right? And you may never use that broker. But this is very important when customers have short-term needs or they have some urgent freight that needs to be moved. This is where we can come in and cover their freight. Now, on the bottom of the slide, you see some statistics around how many tractors, trailers, owner-operators, associates, and what countries we are present in. So primarily, we are a North American company with some presence in China as well. And this slide is really a statistics slide just to give you an idea of the scale of the business, right? So you can see here how many drivers have driven over 1 million miles. So Schneider is an 80-plus-year-old company, and you can see how much we transport in that over 5,000 drivers have driven over 1 million miles. Our trucks circle the globe approximately 375 times per day. That is how much freight we are moving for our customers. And in logistics that I just talked about, we manage over $2 billion of freight for our customers. And a few other statistics here. A lot of our drivers are owner-operators, meaning that they bring their own trucks and they can move the freight that Schneider has. So that just gives us some flexible capacity. And a lot of our drivers are also ex-military, so a lot of professionalism and safety is one of the core values. So all of that is embodied in our culture. Okay, so let's get into the talk today. So I'll talk a little bit about what we do in engineering at Schneider, and then I'll talk about complex supply chain and give you some examples where we have helped customers and continue to help customers. And really, if this is an area that interests you, you can have a part to play in this as well. So let's focus on this picture here. This is a very simplistic supply chain. So this is saying, how do you get a shirt to a consumer? So in this supply chain, everything starts with the raw material, which is cotton, which is sourced from wherever it's grown. This is sourced into a supplier's warehouse. So supplier will source it from many places, will store it in their warehouse, will package it, and then this will then go to a manufacturer, or in this case, it's a garment company. They will convert the cotton into a packaged shirt. They'll get it out to a store or a retailer, and from there it gets to a consumer. So if you keep that, all these different types of touch points in mind, we can think about two definitions of supply chain. Again, these are two sample definitions. By no means is it complete, and by no means does it cover all types of supply chain. So the first definition says that supply chain is a network between a company and suppliers. And I will add here consumerism. So you are sourcing, producing, distributing a specific product. And the supply chain is the steps that it takes to get that product from where it starts to where it needs to go. The second definition is a little more interesting, because here it really talks about not only the movement, it talks about the supply chain being a system and information and resources. So it's a system of organizations, people, technologies, activities, information, and resources that are required to move materials, products, and services. So this is where it's a little more encompassing, in that it's not always about a product, and it is not only about the physical movement or touching of the product. There is a lot of information and technologies that are involved in the supply chain. Okay, so with the definition of supply chain in mind, let's talk a little bit about Schneider Engineering. So engineering at Schneider has been a part of Schneider since the origin of the company 80 plus years ago. And engineering has been critical to helping Schneider achieve what it has achieved, not only for the company, but also for its customers. So we provide custom, innovative, and implementable optimization solutions. So a solution is beneficial only if somebody can do something with it. So a lot of times, this means that a method that we develop may be fairly rigorous. Sometimes it is not so, right? The focus is on what do we need to do to solve the problem or to gain the efficiency that we need. So our team is over 30 engineers spread across three or four different teams. We have a lot of expertise in the transportation area, so we are primarily a team of industrial engineers and computer scientists. There is always an occasional chemical engineer like me who gets thrown into the mix. But for the most part, what we really look for is, do people understand supply chains? Do you understand the math behind this? And are you able to make the math actionable? Now, we have been recognized a lot in the industry as well as in Informs. In fact, even this year in the spring meeting, we are presenting for the Informs Prize. We have developed a lot of different modeling and simulation tools in-house. And we have delivered a lot of good results for our customers and for the company. So this picture on the bottom here shows you the different aspects that are involved in making engineering what it is, right? So everything starts with having the right type of people in place. And we've been lucky in that we've been able to get smart, talented, and driven people from various universities and the industry. Then we train people in transportation, right? So yes, we are industrial engineers, but we are a transportation and logistics company. So one way we distinguish ourselves from everybody else in the market or any consultant is the deep expertise in transportation that helps to make our solutions actionable. We work with not only our own assets, transportation assets, trucks and trucks and trailers, we also work with many different transportation service providers. So we have a lot of market intelligence that we bring to the analyses. And then we work with our customers to develop implementation plans and how do we support their implementation. So if we do a supply chain design, it's one thing to just do a design and tell the customer, here's a solution, go do what you want with it. It's a different thing to say, okay, now we have given you a solution, let us work with you and partner with you in implementing that solution, whether it is getting new transportation capacity, whether it is giving you buildings to store the product, or whether it is just working side by side with their logistics team to do, say, carrier contracting. Whatever it takes, we will work with the customers to implement. And this slide is the last marketing slide I have that talks about the different things we have done in engineering with some examples. And Schneider was the pioneer in using onboard computers and GPS units in trucks. So this picture here is showing you the communication between a truck and our central data center via satellite. You can see it started in the late 80s, early 90s. We were also the first company to implement a trailer tracking. So where is my truck? So we, if you talk to a Schneider customer service person, you'll be able to see on a map where every single truck is, where is it going, when will it get to where it has to go, and so on. In the last few years, we have really embraced the Hadoop system of storing the data and the efficiencies that it affords and the opportunities it allows us to work with the various types of unstructured and streaming data and bring that type of diverse data to our analysis. And the other paradigm that we have embraced is dynamic data-driven decision-making philosophy. So, no problem. So, this was the slide where I got cut off?
Yeah.
Okay. So, let's talk about supply chain complexity, right? So, complexity in supply chains is recognized to be a major source of bother and a major hurdle for supply chain executives. There have been many studies done, and I'm citing a few of them here, that show the impact of complex supply chain. So a number of years back, A.T. Kearney did a fairly widespread study where they found that, where they tried to calculate the impact of the challenges that a supply chain complexity poses on the bottom line of companies. And they found that on average, over $30 billion of profits are affected by supply chain complexity, which means that there is money left on the table. Gartner is a very influential player in technology and supply chain areas, and they do a lot of surveys year over year with executives. And they have found that a majority of supply chain leaders recognize that growing complexity in supply chains is a major risk to their business. It is also recognized as a major risk to achieving their supply chain goals. Now, a little bit back, I had mentioned a supply chain includes goods and services. So, technology companies are also affected by supply chain complexity, whether they are manufacturing or whether they are simply distributing a service. So let's take a look at what are some of the causes of supply chain complexity and what do complex supply chains look like and why. So in this slide, I'm listing four major causes of supply chain complexity. By no means is this list a complete list, but it gives us a good idea on where to start, right? So one of the big causes of supply chain complexity is growth. So now growth can simply be organic growth, where a company is servicing a certain number of customers, they are adding more customers or a diverse or a more diverse set of customers. So think about it. So if you are a bookstore that services a set of customers. Say you're a bookstore located in Pittsburgh near Craig Street, and you service the university community. Maybe you get an occasional customer from the suburbs. Now you say, okay, I've been, my bookstore is all about textbooks. What if I start adding some business books to my portfolio? So you start adding business books, so all of a sudden we now have students from the business school that are starting to come in, as well as people who live outside of the university areas. Maybe people from downtown start coming in more, because now you have a more general library of books. So all of a sudden, what is happening is your customers are increasing. You not only have to store more books, which means you need more space, you also need to better manage how much inventory of books do you have, because maybe you don't need 5 copies of a textbook. Maybe if you reduce it down to 2 copies, you can add 2 business books in that and continue to serve your customers. Now what happens if customers now come to your bookstore and you do not have that book? How do you retain that customer? Because that customer could then go to Amazon and buy that book. What type of service do you have to provide to that customer? So you may promise that customer, hey, come back tomorrow, I'll have that book. How do you source that book? So you can already see, just making a simple decision like expanding your portfolio to add more customers from your same city or suburbs is already making it very complex for you. Now think about a company that wants to grow overseas. So say, for example, you are a U.S. corporation that wants to do business in Asia. Fine, you have done your business case, you understand your market. Do you understand the rules and the laws of the different countries in Asia? What are the differences in the ways in which you have to store, handle, process, move your product? There is a lot more bureaucracy in certain Asian countries compared to the U.S. So it means that your goods may end up sitting in warehouses for longer periods of time. There are customs implications and so on. So all of a sudden, not only have you become more complex because you have now gone to a different geography and you need to figure out a way to move your goods, you also have to understand, how do I manage and handle the government regulations in the different countries in which I want to do business? So growth is one of the big causes of complexity. A second cause of complexity is simply focus on customer needs and service. Simply the desire to provide the customer what they need and provide them high levels of service makes your supply chain very complex. So an example I'm giving you here is, we hear buzzwords like omni-channel supply chain, multi-channel supply chain. What do they mean? So one example is of Walmart, right? So for many years, the way to do business with Walmart was through Walmart stores. And if you're a Walmart store, you went to a store. If your store had the product, great. If it did not, you either went to a different store or you went somewhere else to buy that product. Then a number of years back, Walmart.com came into existence. So you could now buy from Walmart online. The difference is that certain products that you could buy online, you could not buy in stores, and vice versa. So effectively, yes, you could do business with Walmart two different ways. You are dealing with two different types of supply chain. So this is a very simple example of a multi-channel supply chain. Now comes the paradigm of omni-channel. So omni-channel is you want to give the customer, the company wants to give the customer a seamless experience across various different channels. So for example, if I am a customer and I want to go to a store to buy something, I should expect to have that product in the store. If I don't want to go to a store, I should be able to buy that online with the same service level expectations. Or if I do not have the store of that company, but that company partners with somebody else, I should be able to go to a partner store and get that product at the same level of service. So maybe it's the same day or next day. Or I should be able to get it delivered to my home, again, same day or next day. So as a consumer, I have very well-defined needs. Now, as a business, how do I provide the customer this need? Third one is SKU proliferation. So SKU is a stock keeping unit. So this says that, hey, I want to give a customer a wide variety of products. So think about, again, look at your local Walmart. Look at the variety of products that they have. And look at the different types of packages in which you can buy products. A simple example would be take milk, right? You can buy milk in gallons. You can buy it in half gallons, quarter gallons, or pints. So these are, it's the same product that is going into four different SKUs. And now if a retailer wants to service a variety of customers, they'll stock these different SKUs. Well, you still have to source these. They have to be packaged somewhere. And, oh, by the way, milk can expire if it's left too long. So I need to make sure my inventory sells or I have a way to dispose it off. So again, that's another cause of complexity. And finally, mergers and acquisitions or divestitures, new product launches are a major source of complexity. So if company A acquires company B, not only do you inherit the people and the offices, you inherit their warehouses, you inherit their production units, you inherit their network of distributors, you inherit their customers, and where company B had a warehouse or a distributor, company A may have their own warehouse not very far away and a distributor that competes with the distributor of company B. Well, now what do I do? Because now I want to retain my customers. I don't want to lose them. But how do I simplify my supply chain so I'm not managing so many distributors and so many warehouses and consequently becoming inefficient? These pictures on the right-hand side are examples of two customers of Schneider Logistics that that me and my team did quite a bit of business with. So on the top picture is a picture of this company's inbound supply chain. So inbound meaning the blue and red lines are showing the movement of goods from the supplier of this company, which is a retailer, movement of products from the supplier to their distribution centers and from the distribution centers to their stores where the product will be sold. So why does it look like this, right? So the blue, they have a variety of suppliers that are located across the country. They had about 15 different warehouses and cross-docks that were located across the country. And so the suppliers were shipping to any different warehouse or cross-dock, and in some cases they were moving their goods long distances. Secondly, if a cross-dock or a warehouse received the product from the suppliers and they did not need all of it, they would then move it to a different warehouse, who, if they needed some of it, would keep it and then move it to a third warehouse. sometimes a supplier would, suppose a supplier was in Texas that was supposed to send their products to Chicago. There was a warehouse close by in Dallas. So that supplier would send all of their product to Dallas. So now that product has entered the company's, the retailer's supply chain. But now the retailer has to figure out, how do I get the product from Dallas over to Chicago? So some days they would have a truck that would be going from Dallas to Chicago. So they would put it on that truck and it will go from Dallas to Chicago. Sometimes they had a truck going to Atlanta. Dallas did not have storage, so they would put it on a truck that would go to Atlanta and then it would go to Chicago. So these red lines show the variety of ways in which these products were moving between their warehouses. So when we looked at the supply chain, our first reaction was, oh my God, what can we do for this customer? You'll see later how we help this customer. This bottom picture shows you one limited area of the country, and it shows you how these products moved, what is the variety of ways in which this product moved from the East Coast suppliers to the West Coast warehouses. So these red lines are where product is going through three different warehouses. Blue lines is when that product is going through two different warehouses, and green line is when it is going via one intermediate warehouse. This is a picture of what an omni-channel type of supply chain looks like. So you can see here a customer can buy from this retailer in a variety of ways. They can go to their stores, partner stores, online, mobile, and the customers expect the same service level. So now it's up to the business to figure out how to make it happen. This is an example of an international supply chain. So this is about fish, right? Fish is sourced in some ocean. It goes to the local fish market or to the brokers, who then will move it to where it needs to go internationally. It may be caught by an importer who will then take it to a big fish market, from where it gets, it goes through a network of wholesalers and retailers to the final producers of fish products. Or it may just go through a local storage to a producer, and then it gets distributed to these customers located, some are international, some are domestic. And this is a perishable product. So you can see how many various types of touch points we have. And B, this is a time-sensitive supply chain, because the longer longer this product sits in anywhere, the more the chances that it will spoil. So this is a busy slide. This, I couldn't resist putting a network diagram together. But really, this shows you some quick ways to diagnose that, hey, is this business suffering from supply chain complexity? And then what are some techniques that we can apply to help this business out? And when I've interacted with customers, in discussions, they will say things, or you'll discover things that will align very well with these symptoms that I'm showing you on the left-hand side. So let's talk about these symptoms. The first symptom is hidden money. I can't tell you how many customers I've talked to. When we start talking to them about, hey, what are some of the challenges that you have, or what are some of your big initiatives in the next 2 to 3 years, a lot of times it comes up, I believe I have money to save, I don't know where to look. The pictures I showed you on a couple of slides back on the retailer with a very complex supply chain, that was one of their big complaints, that they had no good idea where to look, because they thought they could save money. A closely related symptom is unknown root cause. So suppose we are talking to a customer And we asked them, hey, why are you moving this? Why are you moving these products through so many warehouses? I don't know. That is a classic sign that there is something going on in the supply chain, and it's become so complex and so layered that people just don't have an idea why something is being done. They're doing it because that's the way it's always been done. Lots of product touches. So I talked about that in the example. So if it takes a lot of intermediaries to handle a product before it gets to the final destination. So for example, from a plant, it goes to a wholesaler who goes to a second wholesaler who goes to a warehouse who goes to a retailer from where it gets to the customer. Well, you have so many touches. And this is one way in which a number of businesses are now trying to avoid these intermediaries and going directly to the customer. Growth by mergers and acquisitions we talked about. Large transfer spend. So what does that mean? What that means is there is a shortage of product. So customer needs a product. It's not available at the warehouse. I have to figure out a way to get it to the customer in a short amount of time. So that's called a transfer. Inventory not being in the right location. So similarly, I have the product. It's just not where it needs to be sold.
Predictive.
Non-standard work processes and rework and custom work means that there are various decisions that are taken at a local level, but there is no standard process by which these decisions are supposed to be taken, or by which the customers need to be supply. And then finally, hard to focus on logistics or no visibility into what's going on is another classic symptom. So how do you help a customer, right? If a customer has hidden money, unknown cause, or they have a lot of product handling, a technique called descriptive analytics is very helpful, because here you want to show the customer what is going on to build a business case and show how to get help. When it is a little more clear as to what is happening, so when it is more clear that, yeah, I know why I am handling the product, I know I've grown, I do end up having inventory problems, and the problem is a little more defined, we use prescriptive analytics, also known as supply chain optimization modeling techniques. We can also do predictive analytics like demand forecasting, because sometimes not knowing what the demand looks like can also be the cause. And then finally, if it's work process related or logistics, hard to focus on logistics, this is where we want to look at outsourcing logistics management. So here are some pictures that show you. So descriptive analytics is what is also known as dashboarding, business intelligence, visualizing the supply chain. And how does that help, right? A lot of times when we visualize what is going on, we can see the financial impact of certain decisions that are being made. So this is an example, this picture below that shows you a spider web on a map. This is a customer's outbound supply chain going from plants and warehouses to the customer. And it's showing you different modes of transportation. So how much freight moves by truck versus train versus less than truckload. So you can now put some numbers against that and see, okay, why is my less than truckload spend so high? And that, you know, is the area to focus on. So it gets you a business case, it gives you insights, and it gives you opportunities to take further action. Prescriptive analytics is what a lot of us are trained in, right? So this is the optimization. So this picture on the top shows you a classic supply chain optimization where you go from a very complicated spider web. Customers are being supplied from all over the place. Freight is moving very long distances. And there's just a lot of confusion in how to handle and how to move to this right-hand side picture where you go to a more hub-and-spoke style of supply chain where customers, for the most part, are being supplied out of the nearest plants or warehouses. There is a clear inventory storage strategy that is defined, and recommendations are made and implemented to increase or reduce the storage space at some of those warehouses. And these types of decisions impact 60 to 80% of supply chain costs if you are able to confirm that this indeed is a problem. This picture on the bottom is a very classic transportation problem. So it shows you, here's a plant, here are my customers, and here this customer is being supplied by less than truckload, less than a full truck, less than a full truck. Here are two customers being supplied by a full truck, and here is a customer being supplied by train. Well, how do we make this more efficient? One of the ways we could do this is if we take a look at the customer time windows at which they want to receive the product, and if we can find good matches, we could combine these three customers to be supplied by a single truck. So what does that do? It not only simplifies the transportation, it reduces the transportation cost for these customers. And here I'm showing you a swap between a truck and train, because in this case, it may be cheaper to supply this customer by a train than a truck, and vice versa. So this is where the intricacies of transportation knowledge and transportation design come into play. And predictive analytics is all about from going from a blind guess to a more educated guess by a forecast. I'm going to skip this slide and go to a couple of case studies. So this first study is about the retailer that I had talked about a few slides back. So what we did for this customer is a combination of descriptive and predictive analytics. So first, we helped this customer that had a very complex inbound transportation network and was managing thousands of SKUs. I talked about multiple cross-docks, multiple ways of handling the product, long time to get the product to the customer. We showed this customer exactly what their supply chain looked like. So this picture is a deep dive into one of the products that was being supplied, and we showed them so many different ways in which this product moved to the final destination. So even here, we can start seeing why that is happening. You can see here that in this particular example, most of the shipments from the supplier went to Atlanta. So we could conclude that here, this is that the reason you are going to Atlanta is the reason for a lot of your problems here for this particular product. So we did a lot of these types of deep dives. We showed them what is it costing them to handle the product, and we also showed them how long it took for that product to move on average. So a product like PVC pipe, we showed them that in some geographies, it was taking as much as 50 days to go from the supplier to a customer. And how much money are you tying up in that supply chain? So once we understood that and we aligned with the customer what the opportunity was, then we wrote optimization models to show, okay, in different geographies, how can you simplify this handling? Which of your warehouses need to be more like hub warehouses and that need to receive the product from the suppliers? And how can you get the product to the customer in no more than two or three intermediate warehouse touches? So we were able to simplify their supply chain. And this graph here shows you, you can't read the text, but what it really is showing you on the x-axis is from region 1 to region 2, where do you need to, what warehouses do you need to move the product through? We also found some supplier compliance opportunities via descriptive analytics. So overall, we saved them over $1 million just by just by showing them what their supply chain was all about. The second example is for a brewery. It's for a brewing company that was growing on the eastern part of the country. They had one warehouse located in Ohio from where they were supplying wholesalers. And this was a vendor-managed inventory, so the company was managing the inventory at the wholesalers. There is a variety of products, kegs, cans, bottles, six-packs, and so on, that needed to be moved on the trucks. And what was happening was their trucks would go from the warehouse to the wholesaler. They would spend a lot of time on the road. They would travel long distances. And there was no clear pattern. There was no clear way to say, okay, I want to go to a warehouse, to a wholesaler A every week or every other week.
Yeah.
They were just being supplied as it made sense. So what was happening was this. So you can see week 1 to 4 of a particular month, we had different numbers of shipments. We had different amount of weight being transported every week. Different number of trucks were needed, and consequently, the costs were variable and high. What we did for them was we wrote an optimization model to create shipment patterns. So we partitioned their wholesalers into those based on their consumption and the variety of products that they consume, which wholesalers should be supplied every week, every 2 weeks, and every 4 weeks. So what that allowed us to do was to reduce the number of times the wholesalers were supplied, and it allowed us to create more efficient combinations of wholesalers because we had a clear idea every week where we would be going, so we could create more efficient routes. So what we ended up doing was, in this picture here, we were able to level the week-over-week number of shipments. We were able to increase the total weight transported, and we were able to reduce the number of trucks that were needed. And the trucks were also traveling shorter distances. So that led to us identifying considerable savings for this small but complex supply chain. And this is my last slide here. So I hope to have shown you what is supply chain complexity all about, why it is important to think about it, and its causes in a variety of ways. And I've tried to map some techniques here that can help you diagnose and come up with ways of helping a customer.
Yeah, very good for the competition.
So that is all I had. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you very much. Thank you. So I guess we do have time for questions. So first Chrysanthus and then Braulio.
Hey, Nikhil, thank you very much for your talk. So as promised, my question is as follows. You have a quite large team of industrial engineers there. Do you follow, when you do optimization, do you follow more of a mathematical programming, if you will, paradigm, or do you employ other approaches like metaheuristics and so on?
So that's a very timely question, Chrysanthus. So our preference is to do rigorous mathematical modeling and optimization, right? That is our preference. And for the most part, that's what we apply. So even the two examples I showed you, they were MIPS that we wrote, different MIPS that we wrote for the customer's specific problem. Now, that being said, sometimes not all problems can be handled very efficiently with a MIP. So in that case, we will either resort to techniques like writing a simulation model, or we may resort to heuristic techniques to solve a MIP. But our preference is to always go the rigorous way.
Thank you.
Does that help?
Yes, absolutely. Thank you.
So probably thanks, sir.
Hi, Nikhil. Thank you for the talk. My question is about the complexity that you mentioned. And so it's a very common practice to have the logistics service as outsource of the company. So the company doesn't really own the logistics. Some companies own a part of it. And I was wanted to see what's your take between those two extremes, let's say, if a complete in-house logistics versus outsourced logistics. And to give you an example, you know very well the case of Praxair. So what would be different, or what would be the benefit of all the industrial gas companies to outsource their service and saying, where compared to the current situation where all of them have their own fleet of trucks delivering the gases?
Okay, so I'll try to give you a few different perspectives on that. I don't think that there is a one-size-fits-all, right? So there is a reason to outsource, right? There should always be a reason to outsource. So a lot of companies will outsource logistics because it's not their core competence, right? If it's a manufacturing company, logistics is typically not their core competence. So in that case, it makes sense to outsource. Secondly, and that is happening in today's market, is the transportation market is very tight. There is a shortage of drivers and trucks. So in that case, if a company is having to manage their own fleet, they have to figure out a way to retain drivers. If they are using third-party carriers, what is called a 3PL model, but they are running the logistics themselves, they also have to figure out, how do I make sure I have the trucks available and drivers available? So in that case, it may make sense to outsource, because when you outsource, you go to somebody who has a larger economy of scale in securing transportation capacity. Third one could be if you need very specialized transportation. Like, I'll give you an example, flatbed. Flatbed are those trucks that just have a chassis or a cab in front and a large, flat, low body on the back, right? They are used to transport irregular-sized goods or things that don't fit into a box truck. So in some cases, or in most cases, it makes sense to outsource that. So that is one way in which you would want to outsource. Another way is if you are struggling for efficiency, right? You want to reduce your transportation costs, you want to reduce it, but you don't have very good ideas on how to do it. It can make sense to outsource it in that case, because that's what the outsource companies do. They are trying to be as efficient as possible for the customer. Third aspect of outsourcing is how complex is it to plan your shipment? So transportation planning and managing all of the extensive amounts of data is not a trivial task. When you outsource, that's when companies provide their transportation management systems and expertise to help to manage this data, and also to do efficient shipment planning. So those are some high-level reasons to outsource. Now, if you take a company that has a very, very special type of transportation need that most companies in the market don't use, it may be better to maintain your private fleet. Again, it's a case-by-case answer. I can't answer 100% that yes, a company should always outsource, or no, it should not. You need to think about these reasons before you say, okay, I should outsource or not. If it's a cryogenic transport, it's a very, very specialized mode of transport that is not widespread. So in that case, it may not be the right thing to outsource.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Does that
answer your question?
Yes, very comprehensive answer. Thank you.
Yeah. Just very quickly, maybe, Nikhil, two issues. One, to complement what Chrysantos asked you before. So in terms of your, let's call it, analytical tool set, would you say it's largely the general mixed integer linear programming, because I'm especially so curious, do you do anything systematic in terms of uncertainty, whether it's robust, stochastic, or anything like that, or is that something that gets sort of adapted on a real-time basis with new data?
Sure. So, Ignacio, we have been looking at doing stochastic optimization, and there are a couple of internal projects that we have done where we have applied stochastic optimization. a lot of times what we have ended up doing in this type of uncertainty is to combine optimization, deterministic optimization with simulation. Just because we found that when it comes to some of the very complex transportation problems where we are trying to make sure that trucks keep moving from point A to point B to point C, and looking into the future to understand, okay, what are my decisions that I need to take now, we've just found it a little more efficient to use simulation coupled with optimization than to go the stochastic programming route. That said, we do have people who have done their PhDs in stochastic optimization. So there is awareness of these techniques and there is knowledge of these techniques. We just haven't found too many use cases yet.
Sure. Okay, thank you very much. One last very quick question that I cannot resist to ask. What about the future of driverless trucks? I mean, everybody's talking about the fact, again, very brief, any quick thoughts on that, any implications, or is that basically something that will really not alter in any way the way you do your business?
Yeah, I think that there is a place. My personal opinion is that there is a place for driverless trucks. And we are also looking at developments going on in the market regarding driverless trucks. I think there is a place. I think there are a lot of challenges that need to be overcome, especially around safety and regulations. But for sure, there is a place, especially as the market gets very tight, and also as people look to elevate their skills, I think there is a place.
Sure.
How soon that will happen, I really cannot say. There is testing going on in the market right now.
Sure. All right.
But there are some significant things to overcome.
Okay, maybe on that note again, thank you so much for your very interesting talk, and thank you also for the audience who attended the talk. Okay, thank you very much, then. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much for the opportunity.
Yeah, thank you. Sorry for all these glitches we have here.